Melissa being able to pull that off at the last minute. To you and I, as we look on, it doesn't look like a big deal, but to them it is, okay? And because they have to play and lead and what have you. And do remember Melissa's mom this week. She's having some pretty serious surgery back in Kentucky. And so do pray. What's your mom's first name? Paula? Okay. And she will appreciate it. I know Melissa will. Turn to John chapter 13 this morning. Last week was Vacation Bible School Sunday. The energy in this room is quite high, to say the least. And we started a teaching at the conclusion of the program the kids had. And what I want to do is, this teaching actually has 3 points. Last week we looked at the arena or the context of serving. And this morning we're going to look at the action of serving. But I want to go back and review last Sunday simply because trying to focus after the program, kind of tough, okay? So if you'll permit me to do that, that's where we'll approach it. Last Sunday, if you're with us then, we looked at the arena of serving others. Let's read before that, though, John 13, and we'll read verses 2 through 11. During the supper, the Last Supper, okay? Now, John doesn't say much about the Lord's Supper. He doesn't deal with the administration of it, the preparation for it. All he says here is just this two-word phrase, during supper. That's the Lord's Supper. Okay, the other gospel writers spend a lot of time with it. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Simon said to Jesus, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered him, What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. And here's Peter, impetuous Peter. He said to him, You shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, If I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, my hands, my head. And Jesus said to him, The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. He's thinking of Judas, of course. For he knew who was to betray him. That's why he said, not all of you are clean. We're not recruiting this morning, okay? We're not recruiting and trying to put a guilt trip on you to serve. That's not the idea, all right? We don't do that here. I guess there are places to do that. We don't do it here, all right? We allow the Holy Spirit to put a burden on your heart, and you step forward according to what He has given you to do. And we know that that's always consistent with the spiritual gift that He's given you, whatever that is, okay? And so we're not recruiting. We're not trying to make you feel guilty. This is not for you to leave here and say, well, I guess I better do something. No, that's not on the table. All we are doing in this passage of Scripture is observing what our Lord and Savior did. All right? So last week, if you were with us, we looked at the arena or context of serving others. Jesus and the 12 are in the upper room. The crowds are gone. Those thousands and thousands of people, they're gone. And it's only Jesus and the 12 disciples, 11 of whom of this group would become apostles. So we're only talking about Jesus and the 12. Now, Jesus knows that Judas is there and that Judas is going to betray him. Don't lose sight of that, folks. He knows Judas is there. He knows who Judas is. He knows he is there. He knows what he's going to do in a little bit and get up and leave and go sell Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He knows that. The scripture, John tells us also that Jesus knows that his Father has given all things unto his hand. He knows that he came from God. He is very God in the flesh, and he knows he is going back to the Father. This paints a picture of somebody who is very, very important. All important and all powerful. Don't lose sight of who this is. This is God in the flesh. This is God in the flesh. Creator with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit of all of the universe. He knows what's happened in the past. He knows what's going to happen in the future. Hence, he knew that Judas was going to betray him. In this context, he got up. Jesus got up. Now, you think, well, go ahead. No. He got up. Folks, if you're going to serve, if I'm going to serve, we got to get up. You see, this is not some cerebral exercise. This isn't some emotional want to. Jesus got up. Serving others is always a dynamic activity. It's not a passive one. So Jesus got up. And he laid aside his outer garments. Listen, he's going to get wet and dirty, and he knows it. Foot washing is a dirty business. And you get wet when you do it. They had an outer garment and an inner garment. The outer garment, that which they gambled for at the cross, the Roman soldiers. Didn't have a seam in it, we read. So they gambled for it so they didn't have to split it in two. They divided up the belongings of the people who were being crucified. The Roman soldiers did. Well, Jesus laid that aside. He laid that aside, and he got ready to serve. Serving is never neat and pretty. Sometimes it could be, but usually you're going to get wet and dirty when you do it. That's maybe the reason that some people don't. They have a burden to serve, but they won't do it because they're going to get wet and dirty. Well, Jesus got up, he laid aside his garment, and then he prepared to serve. He got a towel, he tied it around his waist, and he poured water in the basin. This is God in the flesh. We wouldn't find fault with Jesus. He said, oh, over here, guys, get this stuff ready. Fill that basin with water. No, he filled his own basin. And so those of us who think, well, you have to do this, this, and this, and then I'll do that, that's not on the script. Jesus got up. He prepared to serve what he needed, a towel, poured the water, he got a basin. And one by one, all 12, he served his disciples by performing the task of a servant. Did you read over that quickly? Don't. God in the flesh washed the feet. He washed the feet of the one who was going to betray him and sell him for 30 pieces of silver. If you knew there was somebody out there that was going to have you arrested when you left for church for something that you didn't even do, and that you were going to be thrown into the jail downtown, would you wash their feet? I'm sorry. You might. Wheeler can't. You know, this is his mortal enemy who followed him, who was assigned to carry the money. And And Jesus didn't look at him and say, I'm not washing your feet. I know what you're going to do. No, he washed his feet. He washed Judas's feet. He washed the feet of 10 of these 12 who are going to deny him. Only John doesn't. We only find John, the writer of the gospel here, at the cross. Judas is going to betray him. The other 10 are going to deny him. In fact, Peter's going to do it with cursing. 3 times he's going to deny him. And he was vulgar about it when he did. He washed their feet. He washed their feet. Now, we get in the attitude sometimes, don't we? Well, I know what you did or what you're going to do to me. Usually it's with us as did because we can't see the future, okay? I'm not serving you because of what you did. Jesus washed the feet of these 10 who would deny him. He washed the feet of all 12 who followed him. Now, shouldn't they, one of them, stepped up and said, "Hey, you're Jesus. You're Lord. I'll do the washing." Did you see that anywhere here? Nobody stepped up. Nobody stepped up. Who washed Jesus' feet? I don't see that either, do you? I mean, wouldn't you think that after he humbled himself as a servant and washed their... Don't you think one of them would have said, "Jesus, I don't know all that's going on here, but man, you touched my heart. I want to wash your feet." No, not a one. He poured his life into these guys. Did you also notice, Chuck, he's not getting paid? Nobody left a tip there at the basin, did they? Do you see that anywhere? Jesus isn't getting a dime, but oh, today, well, I'll do so-and-so, but I will have to be paid. Just say, Jesus didn't get paid. Those who were wicked and filled with Satan, the son of perdition. Again, Judas got his feet washed by the very one that he was going to go betray. He served and washed the disciples' feet even though there was no publicity. There's no press there. Nobody's going to give him an attaboy when he finishes. They don't even thank him. And he served, washed their feet. This is the job of a servant. The foot washing is. We'll see that in just a minute. And listen. He served even though he was corrected and challenged by Peter. He still kept washing feet. Because Peter said, "What are you doing? You're not washing my feet." But Jesus washed. You know, it's easy sometimes to serve until somebody gets up in your grill. Right, Lindell? Huh? And they would say, "Well, you ungrateful," you know. Jesus kept serving even when he was challenged and corrected. And catch this, big time. He served before he taught. He served before he taught. Folks, if somebody serves you and I the way Jesus did these 12, we're going to hang around and see what he's got to say. And so for the next 5 chapters of the book of John, some of the most deep and profound and blessed teachings of our Lord and Savior are going to come. But he washed before he taught. All right, that's a quicker review last Sunday. Let's look now at the action of serving others. Okay? The arena for serving, now the action. And we'll go just with this second point today, okay? This thing of foot washing. How many we have here? A few hundred people? Okay, anybody get their feet washed when you came in? You did? Not today. Okay, all right. I got to tell you, folks, I can't prove it by person, but some of you need your feet washed. All right? Some of you need your feet washed. All right? We don't do that. In this culture, they had to do it. It's a dry culture. Okay? Dusty. They walk everywhere they go. The foot attire is something like sandals, i.e., your feet get dirty just because you're going somewhere. And so the common practice was that when you came to a residence, let's say, there would be somebody that would meet you at the door and wash your feet. Okay? Now, at our house, we trained our three boys. Before you come in the house, you take your shoes off. Okay? Same kind of deal, I guess, okay, except Mama doesn't want them to track into her house in this one, okay? But when they got there, somebody was there to wash their feet, and it was always the lowest person on the totem pole, a servant. The head of the house, okay? And what? They didn't wash the feet. This is their house. There's our servant. Get with it, servant. So the lowest person washed the feet. You never washed anybody's feet that was equal to you. And you certainly never washed anybody's feet that was lower than you. There's a hierarchy in this culture. But the Creator of the universe, the King of kings and Lord of lords, would and did wash the feet of His followers. There's something profound going on here. Catch this now. This is who Jesus is. He's not putting on a dog. He's not saying, well, you know, as I've seen in some places where somebody does something for that thing we talked about last, that photo op. No, that's not going on here. This is who He is. In the essence and the core of His being, this is who He is. And this is who those who follow Him will be. This is not an option for adoption. This thing of serving. No. This is who Jesus is. If you're following Jesus, this is who you will be. When I put that down here, I thought, I read it and read it and read it again. This is not an anomaly of the Christian faith, this thing of service. In fact, folks, if we are not serving one another, we're not following Jesus. Here's some things that Jesus modeled here in washing the feet of the disciples. Again, serving is a dynamic event. It's not a passive activity. Passive meaning just sit and think about it, okay? It's not a philosophical position. It's more than a desire. You can have a desire, I want to, but never do it. It's not delegating an action to someone else, i.e., well, somebody needs to. Now, 20-some years ago, 25, 26 years ago, whatever it was, used to hear that a lot. Mark's people come up and say, you know, somebody ought to do, you know, somebody ought to teach a Sunday school. Somebody ought to have, you know, that kind of thing. All right? Well, we started killing that one early on. As soon as that was said, okay, the automatic response was, it's not me, it must be you. What they were wanting to do is recruit somebody to do it. Well, it is what you have been burdened to do, or you wouldn't be telling me about it. We don't hear that so much anymore. All right? We don't hear that so much anymore. I don't know the last time that anybody said to me or Andy, Jeff, and these Mark and Troy, somebody needs to. 25 years, even break some bad habits, I guess, huh? That's not serving, delegating the action. It's not serving, listen, it's not serving at the point of need. I'm sorry, let me back up. It is serving at the point of a person's need, not at the point of your need to serve. Anybody drowse off during that one? Let me say it again. Serving is serving at the point of the need of another person, not at the point of your need to serve. A lot of the service that takes place, I'm afraid, is, well, I should do something. Okay? Or maybe even I want to do something. That's not what serving is. It's not there to relieve guilt on your or my part. It's seeing a need in a person's life, in the body of Christ, and given the leading of the Holy Spirit to step up and do it as unto the Lord. Serving is not, well, this is my job, or maybe even, well, I'll do it, but I've got to get paid to do it. In case you haven't figured out yet, most of you know this, okay? Nobody gets paid around here. Okay? We'll just say, I know some of you were sitting there, maybe you're with us for the first time and said, oh man, you're taking a lot of liberty there. No, I don't get paid. Chris doesn't get paid. You get paid back there, Chris, huh? Andy's not on a paid vacation this morning either. It's on his dime, okay? Mick, you getting a check after service? We're not making a big deal out of that. It's just who we are as a body. We've been that way for 25 years or six or whatever it's been. And I'm not throwing things at paid preachers and music leaders and that kind of thing. I'm not. Trust me, I'm not. Okay? I know about the ox and Muslim and all that kind of stuff, okay? But what I'm here to tell you, folks, I cannot provide a teaching like this on a Sunday morning if I'm cashing a check on Monday morning from this church. Okay? I'm in on the serving thing as well. All right, we move on. Serving comes without grudging also. Serving's not a sense of duty. Serving is people-focused. People-focused and Holy Spirit-driven. If you want to know what service is, what serving is, that's it. It's people focused on people led by the Holy Spirit. You say, how do I know if He's leading? Well, if He is, you'll know it. Okay? I'll just leave it there. Now, humility is a prerequisite to serving. There cannot be arrogance or pride, those kind of things. If they're there, you will not serve. Because you'll have a do-you-know-who-I-am attitude. Those people don't serve. But let me point out some enemies of service as well. One enemy that I noticed was one's perceived status. You know, you see yourself as a big deal. Big deal folks don't serve. And you may have also noticed that when you came in this morning, everybody checked who they are supposed to be outside those doors at the door. We don't bring anything in here, all right? There are no big deals in the chairs today or up here. It doesn't matter what you do for a living. If you do anything for a living, that doesn't matter. And we have some fairly accomplished, very accomplished people in here. You're not going to know it once you walk in those doors. One's perceived status, though, can get in the way of serving. And then there's the old nemesis, time constraints. I don't have time. Do you think Jesus had time to do this? Now listen, He is just hours away from fellowship with His Father being broken. When He goes to the cross and becomes sin, takes on your sin and my sin, His Father, with whom he has had fellowship from before the foundation of the world, is going to turn away from him because he will have nothing to do with sin. And Jesus will cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Don't you think he wanted to optimize just a few more minutes in fellowship with his Father before that time occurred? Instead, he got a basin, a towel, and some water, and started washing feet. Laying aside those precious minutes before he's going to be arrested and go to the cross. Then we have the old one, it's not my turn. Okay? I took my turn. I did my thing. Now I'm going to rest. Folks, as a follower of Jesus, there's one place to rest. It's called heaven. Until then, we serve. All right? We'll leave that one there as well. And then, this one will sting a little bit. They don't deserve it. Now, I see the need. And yes, the Holy Spirit is speaking to me about it, but they don't deserve it. Carl, what is that? We are standing in judge of a person who walks and talks just like we do. And we decide they don't deserve it? I think that's above our pay grade, to be honest with you. All right. Let's close this morning then with responding to the service of others. When other people serve you, okay? Peter steps to the front. You read it with me a while ago. None of the other disciples say a word, but Peter does. You see, Peter didn't understand what Jesus was doing. He didn't understand why he was doing it. He was looking with temporal eyes. He cannot yet see with spiritual eyes. He's going to, but not now. You see, Peter possessed a sense of entitlement, of pride. All of that comes out in what he says. And he's even judging the service of Jesus. And because Peter did not understand, did you catch this? He was in danger of having no share with Jesus. Do I need to get graphic in telling you what that means? He's out. No share with Jesus. What that means is, you're not with me any longer. It got Peter's attention. He understood what that meant. He said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no share with me. And Peter's pride almost cost him everything. The application here is this. We will never serve until we are able to accept the service of others. A man that was back in foundation days for me, that helped me way back there. I don't know. 40 years ago, maybe. I don't know, something. I don't know. A long time ago. And this is one of the builders on my life. You have them in your life, too. Okay? And I'll never forget that he shared with me one time that he was in great need financially. All right? And he was at a prayer meeting. And he brought up the fact that, you know, these issues financially in his life, and he wasn't one of these guys that go out and beg money and that kind of stuff. He was just sharing with some brothers in Christ about his need. They got up off their knees, and one of the people that was a foundation builder in his life walked over and stuck a check in his pocket. And Norm grabbed that check, he said, and pulled it out and stuck it back in the guy's face, and he said, I don't want your money. And that guy looked at him, and he said, Norman, until you learn to receive, you'll never learn to give. Oh, that's what's happening to Peter here. You're not going to wash my feet. To the glory of God, Peter got it at the last moment. You see, he wanted to share with Jesus. He wanted to share with Jesus. And his response then is classic Peter. Well, don't just wash my feet. Wash my hands, my head, you know. Wash me all over. Now, folks, this was worth the price of admission this morning. Okay? Listen. Verse 10. Read it again with me. Jesus said to him, after Peter said, wash my hands and my head also, Jesus said to him, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except his feet, but is completely clean. All right. The one who has bathed is completely clean, except for his feet. Peter, if you have bathed, if you have believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, washed the blood covering sins, if you have bathed, you are completely clean. Now hear this, you don't need to wash again. We bathe every day because we don't want people to not sit by us in church, okay? But spiritually speaking, we bathe once. We bathe once. And he said to him here, he said, if you have bathed, you are completely clean. You with me still? Only your dirty feet need washing. He's not talking about the dust and the muck and the mire of the streets of Jerusalem here. What he's talking about, what do your feet do with you or for you? They take you, don't they? Huh? Can you get out that door without your feet? Huh. Well, you might crawl or something, I guess, but no, we need our feet. As we walk in the spiritual, in our life here, as we walk, okay, we may step over into the mud hole of some sin. All right? I don't know what it is for you. It may be an attitude. It may be hatred. It may be some addictive substance. It may be some key on the keyboard of the computer that you push and it takes you to somewhere you better not be. If you're a child of, I don't know what it is, but it's dirty feet. Now, Jesus said, where you walk, you're going to get your feet dirty. You don't have to. And it can't be the habitual, continual pattern of your life. But your feet may get dirty. And then they need to wash your feet. Well, Wheeler, how do you wash your feet? Not physically. 1 John tells us, same writer here, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. There's the foot washing. That's the feet he's talking about. And you know what happens when you wash your feet, Mick? Fellowship with the Father is possible again. Because when you and I get dirty feet, fellowship with the Father is broken. Not relationship, fellowship. Well, what's fellowship, Wheeler? Fellowship is you can pray. The Scripture tells us, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity, bad sin, good sin, if there is such an animal, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But if I confess those sins, if I wash my feet, he forgives and fellowship is returned. Relationship is not impinged. That's settled, okay? But fellowship, that sweet presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, that peace that passes understanding, that desire to be with Him and Him with you, that can be quenched. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, John tells us over there, if we walk in the light, we know what light is, right? As He is in the light, then we have fellowship with Him. There is no fellowship when we walk in darkness. And when we walk, we have dirty feet. So we need to wash our feet. Did you wash your feet this morning? Huh? Anybody over here wash your feet? I did. Yeah. Before I came here and tried to share with you, before I came to worship with you, Lord, is there any sin in my life? Any unconfessed sin? And there was. And I had to. You know what? There are some folks with feet so dirty, they won't even dare come to a house of worship. Even though they have professed to be a follower of Jesus. If you bathe, you're completely clean. But your feet need to be washed. But Jesus said, and we close here, not every one of you is clean. Are we getting this one? Did He know who that one was? Absolutely, by name. Hey, He knows you and me by name. Whether we are a follower or whether we are a pretender like Judas was, or whether we're just a reprobate. By name, He knows. And He knew not every one of you is clean. So the question I have for you this morning, and for myself. First of all, most importantly, have you bathed? Have you bathed? You'll never be a servant until you have first bathed. Because you have no connection with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The last thing you'll do is serve. But have you bathed? And the second question, are your feet dirty? Anybody have dirty feet? Let's pray. Father, what we see Jesus doing this morning, Lord, it's humbling, it's impressive. Father, it's a little bit strange. And it's not the only service that there is, but it's representative of what You did, Lord Jesus. You're not going to stop here. You're going to serve every human being ever born in just a few hours as You go to the cross and give Your life, die for every person. Thank You. Thank You, Lord, that You are a servant. And Father, I pray You'd be patient. I can't speak for anybody else in this room, but I pray You'd be patient with me. Because I don't always get this serving thing right. And I pray for Your forgiveness for that. Because if You would watch these disciples' feet. Father, who am I not to serve those that you put me into contact with? I pray, Father, you'll hear the hearts of brothers and sisters in this room, Father, who may be asking you the same thing right now. Thank you, Lord. None of us are too important to serve. In Jesus' name.